Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Ramadan Kareem.
Thank you, General. What about the unifications right now before going to the negotiations?
Well, we think it's very important that we bring the rebel leaders together that represent their people. And in addition to that, in addition to unifying the rebel groups, we think it's very important that the civil societies that are represented in the IDP camp, that are represented in the refugee camps in Chad, and that are even represented in the diaspora, have a chance to become part of this process. So we're looking at unification across Darfur so the Darfuri people have representatives that can speak for them in clear, loud, and a unified voice, and that the issues are the issues that are important to the Darfuri people, not just to maybe one group, but in a unified way that we can get the issues on the table, get them resolved in negotiation so that peace can come to Darfur, and issues like land reform, power sharing, compensation, all those things are discussed from the perspective of the rebel leaders and also of the Fur and other peoples that live in Darfur.
General Gresham, last time you said that the situation has been improving, though the OSHA has issued a report only 2 days ago. It said that nothing has changed. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that there are still many, many things that have to be improved. We all agree with that. The security situation in Darfur is still bad in that there are still people that are being terrorized. There are still women that are victimized by violence, and people are afraid to go out, especially at night. These things have to change on the security front. There are many other things that have to be fixed, even in terms of humanitarian assistance. There are people that don't have access to adequate health care. There are still people that don't have access to sufficient food. And we have to fix the sanitation and water. So I agree that there are things that have to be done, but sir, I would be non-true to what I see if I said that we aren't making progress. Because certainly since the 4th of March, the situation has improved markedly. As we have 4 new NGOs in, the capacity of the UN has increased, the capacity of the other NGOs that still remain, that were not expelled, has increased. And yes, while there are challenges, while there are shortfalls, and continue to be things that we have to work on, and the situation is dire and unacceptable, we know there has been a positive trend, and we just need to accelerate this and make it better for the people of Darfur.
Last time you made the statement that the things are improving and there are remnants of genocide, the government used these statements for its public relations campaign. So what do you think of that?
Well, I think that it really doesn't matter what the government does in terms of public relations. What we want the government to do is make a difference on the ground. We want the government to take an active role in improving the security. We want the government to take a more active role in making it easier for NGOs to bring the humanitarian assistance that the people so desperately need. We want the government to take responsibility for the security forces, for police forces, for improving the situation so that people in Darfur can live a life that includes justice, where people that perpetrate crimes are caught, where they're punished, and that people can't get away with terrorizing the Darfuri people. These are the things we're holding the government accountable for, not for a media campaign.
The Darfur activists say that you are using too much carrot with the Sudanese government, and now they are leading a campaign in Washington and some demonstrations even in front of the American embassy in London to protest against the statements you made. What do you comment on that?
Well, I really can't control what the activists say. What I can only control is what I see. And there's several expressions that we've heard from when we were young, that you catch more bears with honey. In other words, until we see things that need to be punished, or we see a requirement for additional pressure, we should certainly exhaust our effort to use incentive. Whether you're an individual or whether you're an organization, I think that we all respond better with incentives, and I believe that we have made a significant difference using some of the incentives. Obviously, the pressures are still there, and we have not taken the pressures off the table. They are still available to us, but the bottom line is we believe that the current course of action, where we work together with the government, we work together with the people of Darfur, is a formula that is currently working, and until we see that it is not working, we believe we should continue this course.
General Scott Gresham, the Special Envoy. Also, there was a language used during the electoral campaign for the presidency in the United States. So the commitment made by President Obama during the election, is it now on the table or it has been removed?
President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton are committed to the people of Darfur and to changing the unacceptable and dire conditions that exist here in this state. When you have 2.7 million people living in IDP camps, when you have hundreds of thousands of more refugees in bad situations in Chad, when you have people that have been forced from their country, that are part of a diaspora that has spread all over the world, these conditions must change, where people can voluntarily return to their home, where they can have safety and security, where they can have human rights and dignity, and they can have justice and equality. These are the things that President Obama and Secretary Clinton are committed for. These are things that I'm working for, and you can count on the United States to be partners with you and partners with the Darfuri people to accomplish these objectives that I've just outlined.
Some of the IDP camps in Darfur, General Gresham, they were not happy with the visit to Darfur, notably in Kalma. Why do you think the reason behind that?
I can only tell you that while some of the people disagree with what I'm doing, I have been treated with absolute warm hospitality that the Darfuri people are so famous for. And so I appreciate the hospitality that I've received in the camps that I visited today with the sheikhs, with the women's centers that I went to, and with the Wali. But I will tell you that as I talked to them, I found out that they had been given wrong information. They had been told that I was recommending forcible return, that they had been told that I wanted them to leave IDP camp now. This is totally false. What I had said is that we need to be thinking about an eventual return, that we need to be thinking about preparing the places that they would return to with safe water, with an opportunity for education and healthcare and for community development, that we needed to be thinking about security in these homelands where the people might choose to return to. And I wasn't saying that people need to leave. I said we need to think about how we can fix the conditions where they can get some food while they are putting their plants in, because they will probably miss the first cycle as their plants are young and growing, as their cattle are young, and as they're building their herd. So I found out that people misunderstood my position. The second thing I found is that people thought I said that we should remove Sudan from the list of state sponsors of terrorism. I never said that. I also found out that people thought I said we should lift the sanctions against Khartoum. What I said is we ought to lift the portions of sanctions that are preventing humanitarian development or an assistance and international development from coming to Darfur. So there was a lot of confusion on the behalf of the people, and I think that confusion may have caused people to think that I shouldn't be welcome in Darfur. But if you study my word, if you study what I said on Dibunga, if you study what I said to the Congress, you will see that my words are exactly as I stated and not what has been reported by other people to the people of Darfur.
General Gresham, there is also what they say that you visited before Abu Shouk and Zamzam. Today you are doing the same. Why you do not go to the other camps over Darfur?
Well, it's my goal to go to every single camp. You know, it's impossible to just go to camp to camp to camp without taking time to listen to the people, without taking time to see the conditions they're living in, to take the time to see the facilities where they get their health care, where they get their food. And so it takes a little bit of time. And so as I've made my way through Nyala and Fasher and other places, I'm visiting the camps as best I can, not just to say that I visit every camp, but to say I listened, I looked, and I learned. That's my objective. That's my goal. And so you'll see me continue to make trips. And tomorrow I'm going up to the Jebel Mar area. And so I'll continue to learn, to see, and to listen to the perspectives of the Darfuri people.
Going back to the policy review made towards the Sudan, do you think that that is an incentive or a measure that can lead Sudan to sign peace in Darfur?
I think our policy review is more about what the United States' approach to Sudan will be. And so in that policy